Here we go.
Michigan at the 41. What a hit! Ball's free! On the ground! South Carolina deserves to have it!
Cloudy just says, I'll take care of business right here. I'll come off the ball and rock you and get it right back for our offense.
22nd and 10 for Fields. Fields to throw it. Pump fake. Sacks. Fires. Touchdown, Garrett Wilson.
Now Burrow going to launch downfield for Chase. Who's got it? Touchdown, LSU!
Snaps with the whole
lock!
The kick is
good!
The kick is good! The Mountaineers are going to try to take it
back! Lead
to the Big Al!
That's on the Big Al!
20, 50,
ah! 10!
The Mountaineers are going to beat the Michigan Wolverines!
This is Menace to Picks.
All right, welcome back to the next episode of the Menace to Picks podcast. We are fired up once again. JG, the sportsbook joker. We are ready to break down college football. The Ohio State Buckeyes play just 2 weeks from tonight. And we are going to get you ready with some gambling picks, some handicapping picks. We're having our handicapping contest for our Patreon subscribers. If you're not following us, get ready to sign up for college football this season. Last year we hit at 66% winners for college football. Right now, our Infinity Locks and Locks of the Month hitting right between 67 and 70% accuracy. So we are killing the game. We've had a great summer. Patreon.com/Menace2Picks. Sign up for whatever model subscription you want. $15 a month is going to get you our Infinity Locks, our Locks of the Month, Locks of the Year. $25 a month is going to get you all of our basic picks as far as football, baseball, NBA. Our premium package is a month, and that's going to give you all of our picks, including soccer, tennis. Our soccer picks are out of sight, and we are just thrilled for what this fall has for us, considering last year we had an abbreviated season. JG, the sportsbook joker, we're here with our Midwest insider at Insider Midwest on Twitter, at Menace2Picks on Instagram and Twitter. We're going to talk about some handicapping options as it pertains to futures. So hopping right in here, Midwest Insider, Ohio State -205, -210 to win the Big Ten Conference. For you, is that easy money?
What's up, Joker? That's a good question to lead off. I wouldn't say easy money. I think the Big Ten has a lot of parity after Ohio State. When you talk about Penn State, Wisconsin, Iowa, a lot of those teams, you know, I think will be competing for the two spot, but maybe it is easy money. I would say that I would bet it, and I don't want to discount the Big Ten because they have improved, but sure, let's do it. Let's take it.
I don't love the price at -210. You know, that's a lot of juice, but it's not -500. And the fact of the matter is, in the Ryan Day, Urban Meyer era, the Buckeyes are 34-5 in the Big Ten. Put you on the spot right now. Can you name those five losses off the top of your head?
In the Big Ten, Iowa, Purdue, Michigan State, twice.
Yep, and there's one more. Happened with a blocked field goal.
Oh, Penn State. Thanks.
So Urban's second year, the Buckeyes lose in the Big Ten championship. Urban's first loss, I believe, correct?
Yes, that was Urban's first loss.
And
we were
then,
there.
Right? And then the next loss wouldn't be, I don't think, until Michigan State at home, which to me is the worst loss in Ohio State football history. And then
yeah,
sprinkled
you could argue
in
between two Michigan State losses at home.
Sprinkled in with Penn State on the road with basically a fluke loss. To me, that was the one game in there that was a fluke. We were flat out better than them and outperformed them in that game. They got really fortunate.
That was one of Urban Meyer's worst mistakes, was not calling a timeout there before that field goal, but I don't want to rehash that any more than we already did.
Right. You could have taken hypothetically, you could have took a knee on fourth down or punted or done anything, but not allowed them to score a touchdown. And then you come back and you get those two crazy blowouts with Iowa and Purdue. So for me, that's easy money. I'm putting that as a massive play, you know, for our big bettors, our followers out there that are placing big bets. Now, obviously, are you going to bet $200 to win $100? Probably not. But if you're looking at a bigger investment, something that might be, you know, a little bit more profitable. To me, the Buckeyes look really solid to win the Big Ten another year. How many years running would that be now?
Oh, that's a good question. Four or five. I think last year was our fifth. Now, the only thing that scares me with that bit a little bit is Penn State. So if they go off and beat Wisconsin week one, I think they're going to be undefeated. Now, Ohio State gets them at home. But if that becomes, like I think we talked about last time on our podcast, was if Ohio State were to lose that game, you know, even if Penn State loses to Auburn or loses another one, then
– yeah, at Iowa, they could lose at
exactly.
Iowa.
Exactly. But I like the bet. I think it would be a travesty have Ohio State not win the Big Ten this year.
And that's going to go right into our next question of the national championship picks. I mean – to me, Vegas is pointing out that there's only five teams that could do it. You know, your traditional Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and Oklahoma. Everybody else is over 20 to 1, 30 to 1. Now, those teams are all in the single digits to win. So of those five, who do you like? I have a strong feeling on this, something that I've never given out before. It is on Patreon right now. And a long time I've never done this, but I have a strong opinion on this one. How do you feel about the national championship picture if you were going to play a future, say it was a $100 bet to win 500 somewhere or 800, maybe it's a longer shot. What are your thoughts?
So I wanted so desperately to pick outside the box here, but you just can't. I mean, the cream has risen to the top. Even when you look at the recruiting rankings over the last decade, there was more parity 5 years ago than there is now. If you look at the top 100 players over the last 2 years, I think if you exclude Alabama and Ohio State, I think that's – I saw a stat that made up around 52% of the top 100 players or something over the last two seasons. So the rich are getting richer. So it would be just an off-the-wall hot take to not take one of those teams. What I've got in the playoffs, though, I do have a bit of a lukewarm take. I have Georgia as my number one seed in the playoff picture. However, breaking news, their starting tight end and their starting cornerback are both out for the Clemson game. And when you get into the Georgia roster a little bit more, Eric Gilbert, who is their stud transfer from LSU, is out for personal reasons. George Pickens, who's a top five wide receiver this year, potentially had a torn ACL in the spring, but they're oozing with talent. They've recruited as well as Ohio State and Alabama. I would put them, you know, probably second, to be honest, with the recruiting rankings. And looking at their D line, I'm just drooling. So I've got Georgia one, I've got Ohio State two, I've got Clemson three, and I've got Oklahoma four. That is my playoff prediction.
So no Bama, and of course the committee has shown that they don't care if Bama loses a game. Honestly, sometimes they don't care if Bama loses twice. They're still going to try to find a way to put Bama in there. Our Midwest insider does not think that it's going to be their year. For me, my strong opinion, I'm going to give it out right now, and I've not done this. We know that centrally the Minus two picks somewhat, you know, kind of buck people will claim that, you know, that we homer the Buckeyes a little bit. I've never done this, but I'm giving out the Buckeyes at plus 700 to win the national championship this year. And let me tell you why. First of all, it's the 74-5 inside of the Big Ten. And then it's the Ryan Day undefeated in the Big Ten. To me, they are going to win the Big Ten and they're going to be playing in the playoffs. So just right there is good enough, because say you put 100 on them to win 700 to win the national title. And you think that they're going to the playoffs. At that point, if they win the semifinal game, then you're in an opportunity where you could hedge your bet if they make the finals. Anytime you have a future that's a champion, hedge your bet. If you're like, okay, they don't look as good as I thought they would, they might not win the national championship. But you brought up now that the national championship is in Indianapolis. The Buckeyes haven't lost there in a long time. My other thoughts on this is that some of those other teams – they're not the same. Alabama is not the same as they were last year. Clemson is not toting Trevor Lawrence back onto the field. So some of these other teams are not quite as good. And to me, the Buckeyes roster is just as good or better than anybody's. Their coaching staff, just as good or better than anybody's. Are there question marks? Sure. Freshman QB, True. Unknown parts in the back of the defense? Absolutely. But in order to stop Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson and this Ohio State offensive line, it's going to take a Herculean effort from somebody else's defense. So understanding that in order to beat this team this year, you're going to have to hold these guys down on offense, and then you're going to have to score a little bit because it's going to take 35, 40 points to beat this team when you have the top two, I saw today in the mock drafts, you have the top two receivers in the mock drafts on the same team. Chris Olave came back for a couple reasons, and the first one's to win a national championship. So, and he would not have been back if he didn't think that C.J. Stroud could do it.
Absolutely.
So, those are my thoughts regarding the Buckeyes. And like I said, I don't pick the Buckeyes to win the national championship every year. I would not have picked them heading into the season with Maurice Claret as a freshman. I would not have picked them into the season when they won with an injured quarterback. You know, the last time Ohio State won the national championship, it was with Cardale Jones. So to hear quarterback issues, I think they're going to be okay at that position. And I think they represent great value. And right now, to me, the only thing they really lost, and correct me if I'm wrong, the thing that they lost last year was Justin Fields. Obviously, he's going to be a great player. But what else did they really lose that was irreplaceable?
So I really like the pick, and I hate to be a homer too, but I actually was looking through kind of an analysis between the big three, right? Even though I didn't pick Bama in the playoffs, they're still the big three, well, they're big one, with Clemson and Ohio State constantly fighting to get to Bama's level. But if you look at each position group, starting with QB, that's a push. All three have a new starter. All three were ranked very highly. We don't know who's going to be the best of that bunch. Running back, I would say Bama or Ohio State. Ohio State has a huge list of potential running backs, which Trey Henderson, their incoming freshman, might be the next Reggie Bush. So Bama or Ohio State with Clemson behind. Receivers, OSU, clear number one to me. Maybe the best position group in college football history. You know, you throw that around a little bit, but if you look up and down that receiving room, when you have your number four or five wide receiver transfer and you're Bama's top guy, that's crazy.
And
offensive line, that's
my main point, is in order to beat the Buckeyes this year, you're going to have to stop them from running the ball in a myriad of ways, and you're going to have to get to their quarterback a little bit. It's not going to happen for most teams. Their offensive line, you're talking about a guy that's projected as a first-round tackle in Thayer Mumford being asked to move positions. He's great. And they're shuffling him because they have so much depth.
Yeah, I could argue that there's four potential first-round picks on that offensive line that could be starting tackles in the NFL in 2 years between Paris Johnson, DeJuan Jones, Thayer Mumford, and Petit Ferry. I mean, all four of those guys are next level. They're all going to find a nice home and be 10 plus year starters in the NFL. And then Harry Miller, who was, you know, a five-star center, struggled a little bit last year, but was fighting some injuries. And the offensive line is stout.
That's what's funny about some of these position groups at Ohio State and other schools as well. But, you know, you take a look at Sam Hubbard. He wasn't the best defensive lineman on his college team by any stretch of the imagination. He was actually like third or fourth at one point. And then he goes to the NFL and he's the best defensive lineman on his NFL team. I saw a tweet that said Justin Fields had better receivers at Ohio State than he does with the Chicago Bears. And guess what? That's true. You know, Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson are better than the Chicago Bears receivers right now. So, let's hop in, because I do want to talk about the Buckeyes a little bit more. But I do want to also talk about the Heisman. Is Spencer Rattler, is he a shoe-in for the Heisman? He's plus 200. He's a really short price. Is he going to win the Heisman this year?
I don't like the bet. I feel like whoever comes in as the heavy favorite usually doesn't win the Heisman. Granted, the Oklahoma quarterback Heisman run, three of the last four, I think it was. I mean, that's insane. You almost a shoe in to be in the final five, but I like some of the action a little bit further. I like CJ Stroud at 10-1. I like JT Daniels. If you think Georgia's going to make the playoffs at 12-1, I think Keaton Slovis at 20-1 is a really good action. I think USC is going to be really good on offense. My dark horse is Bijan Robinson, who I think is the best running back in college football. He's at 25-1. Texas probably won't have a great year, but we've seen some unconventional picks and I
think he's great. The problem with that is if you go back and look historically, that the Heisman's just a quarterback every time now. So that's why they got a little
unconventional last year. So
So, for me, I think it's Spencer Rattler. I think that they're really drilled. I think that they have weapons. They have an offensive line. And to me, he's going to be awesome. I think C.J. Stroud's going to have a chance to win it. I have some comparisons when I talk about him here in a second, because I do want to hop over to the Buckeyes on our kind of brief episode today. So I'm going to hit you with some Buckeye over-under, just kind of props here. Question number one, I want to start with Quinn Ewers. He's everybody's talk around the Buckeyes camp. For me, I just want to say – I think Quinn Ewers is awesome. He's, you know, the top recruit that we went over last time, our last podcast, in the history of recruiting rankings overall. So, and I'll give my opinion here in a second, but Quinn Ewers over under one touchdown pass thrown this season.
That's a really good question. I'm going to go over because I think Ryan Day is going to circle through all those quarterbacks. I think all of them are going to get a chance to play with the 4-game redshirt rule. I mean, even if Quinn, and we know he's not going to be around for 4 or 5 years, but even if he redshirts, he can play in 4 games. I think that Ohio State's going to whack some people, especially with last year. We didn't really get to see a lot of the backups. I think that's going to be an emphasis point in Ryan Day this year. So I'm going to go over one.
And I think that the people that are on Twitter, like, asking about Quinn Ewers for this season, I mean, he's 18 years old. He's not in football shape. I mean, for him to come in, and then again, you're going to risk your entire locker room if somehow this guy ends up on the field ahead of C.J. Stroud and Kyle McCord, some of these other guys. It's not going to happen this season.
Oh, I agree with that. He's fourth string.
He's number four right now. He's going to get with Coach Mick, and he's going to have to work his way up. And they're okay with that because they've accomplished everything that they want to accomplish just by him getting some likeness deals, getting on campus, and now – he's another year closer to the NFL, right? By expediting his experience in college, now he only has 3 years until he's an NFL player. So to me, I would guess that Stroud's going to play for two and Quinn's going to play for one. And Quinn's also going to play because Ohio State blows people out. So he's going to play plenty. And I think the Ewers family knows that as well. So who's going to lead the Buckeyes in rushing yards this season?
So this is another really good question, just because when you think about how deep the running back room is, and, you know, Master's been here forever, had a serviceable year last year. I wouldn't say great, obviously splitting carries with Trey. Now, another Trey, obviously Trey Henderson, who's what's on everybody's mind. There's, you know, Reggie Bush comparisons, Saquon Barkley comparisons. He's going to be my leading rusher because I think he's too good to keep off the field. But I also think that they're going to, you know, save some of that for later in the year, some of the big games. So I think, you know, it boils down to who's going to get some of those garbage minutes as well. When, you know, Mayan Williams, he's going to get his. Master is going to get carries. I would probably go Master as my touchdown leader with Trey as the yardage leader.
That's interesting. And, you know, I asked Coach Zach Smith this a little bit earlier, and he's going to be on the pod with us several times throughout the year. But he brought up a great point, and he said you could take a look at C.J. Stroud as leading rusher. For me, there's going to be a lot of guys with 500 rushing yards. And C.J. Stroud, so Justin Fields hardly ever ran at Ohio State, and Dwayne Haskins didn't either. And Zach said, and why is that? And I thought about it for a second.
Because they weren't deep.
That's the exact reason.
The injury.
Those guys could not be hurt, or they would lose. This year, it doesn't matter. Day wants to win, and he's got options. So with all that said, Midwest Insider, are you in agreement with Coach Zach regarding C.J. Stroud potentially carrying the ball more than a Dwayne Haskins, who's not really a natural runner, or Justin Fields, who absolutely can run?
So I like the logic that quarterback or Ohio State is deep enough at quarterback that if something did happen to C.J., God forbid – we would have, you know, a plethora of five-star guys waiting in the wings. I'm going to say CJ is a good athlete, not great. I think he's a better athlete than Dwayne Haskins, but I think he's nowhere near Justin Fields. think Justin is a 4-3 guy. I'm guessing CJ's more of a 4-6 guy. I think he'll probably – I'd set the over-under at 5 rushes a game. So I don't think he's going to get enough carries to be the leading rush of the team, but it could happen. I could see it, but I'm still going to stick with Trey Henderson.
Right, and quarterback running the football is the ultimate defensive negator because you add an extra blocker. You know, you have another guy that's out in front, and I would probably take the over on the course of the season, but I can't imagine he's rushing the ball 15, 20 times a game. Now, will he have a couple games that he does that? Probably so. I could see what you're talking about with Trey and Master T. I'm going to still ride with Mayan Williams, you know, like I've already said regarding Mayan. I think that he's going to have a great year. I think he's going to start out the season strong. And as long as he's not fumbling or, like we said, dinged up or something, I think he starts the year very strong. All right, so the receiving, I don't think the questions are that tough. But I guess you're picking between Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson of who's going to have the most receptions this year for the Buckeyes.
So I've read that CJ and Garrett have a bit of a connection above the other wide receivers. I mean, obviously, Chris Olave, he's going to be open. He's going to get the ball. He's going to get his. I think Garrett does a little bit more of the dirty work. So I probably have Garrett as the leading reception wide receiver on the team. However, I would probably go with Olave for touchdowns, obviously with his home run threat ability. And CJ's ability to throw the deep ball, there's going to be a lot of taking the top off the defense. I'm going to go Garrett. Don't sleep on Jackson Smith and Jigba. I think he's every bit as good as Garrett and Chris, and the draft next year will show that.
For me, Chris Olave is special. He's got the it factor. He plays great in big games. He plays great in second halves. He releases from the line of scrimmage like a freaking rocket, and he's going to be tough to contain. Now, is he going to catch as many passes as Garrett? Like you said, Garrett probably works the slots a little bit more, whereas you know, Chris has spent most of his career on the outside. So I think you're splitting hairs there a little bit. They were far and away the leading numbers from catches, touchdowns. Any love for Jeremy Ruckert this year in that department? If the question was different, if the question was who's going to be third, because that might be the more interesting question. Is it going to be Jackson Smith and Jigba? Is it going to be the true freshman? Is it going to be Jeremy Ruckert? Or maybe they're throwing out of the backfield a little bit more.
You know, every year we hear that Ohio State's going to involve the tight end more. We saw the, you know, one-handed grab by Ruckert. He came up big in the Clemson game. I think we had a couple touchdowns to the tight end. I still would not go Jeremy as third. I'll believe it when I see it, when we've got tight ends with over 50 receptions. I think Jackson Smith is going to have a huge year. I've got him third in receptions. And then I also think Julian Fleming might beat out Ruckert as well. I've heard big things out of him this camp. He's finally living up to that 5-star number one overall player bill.
So let's talk defense. Last year, the leading sacks on the team, I want to say, was Togiai with 3. Of course, that sounds like a weird number, but they only played, you know, 8 games last season. And I believe Togiai missed a game. Who's going to lead the team in sacks this year?
So, that's an interesting stat. I didn't realize Togiai led the team in sacks. Granted, we had the shortened year. I think Tyreek Smith, I loved what I saw out of him in the Clemson game. He came on really strong at the end of the year. I thought he was our most explosive athlete off the edge. I think Zach Harrison has the higher ceiling. I think he might be the better pro, but I think Tyreek Smith is really going to have a coming out party this year. I've got him as the leading sack producer for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, he could be good. To me, the underdog kind of story of a guy that's going to go from ashy to classy is Jean Baptiste. He came in Zach's last year at Ohio State. He weighed 195 pounds, and they knew he was a project. But now you're looking at a guy that, for me, is going to go off like a Jalen Holmes or a Tyquan Lewis, where out of nowhere, he's going to end up getting drafted in the second or third round and go on and have an NFL career. So this is kind of my, like, long shot pick. I know you can't find a prop of who leads the Buckeyes in sacks, but, you know, we're just looking at it here, and that's who I'm going to play. Jean Baptiste, I think he gets six to eight sacks this season. The next question I think is the toughest question on the sheet today, and we only have a few more here. Who leads the Buckeyes in tackles?
So I thought about this before the show, and I'm going to go with Cody Simon, who I've heard is the next All-American linebacker at Ohio State. I think they're going to have a lot of 4-2-5 looks, and I think Chiraja Mitchell and Cody Simon will be the two backers in that set. And I think Cody is going to have a breakout year. He's going to be a household name after this year if he can stay healthy. The other dark horse, I guess, I was thinking, and you hate to have a safety lead in tackles, but Josh Proctor, I think he's going to have a huge season. He's going to have a lot of opportunities to make tackles in that 4-2-5 look. What do you got, Coach?
He's going to be great. Proctor's going to be great. The tackles thing is, I don't think anybody knows the answer to this. I think you could ask Al Washington, Kerry Coombs. I don't think any of them are going to know the answer to that question right now because there's just a lot of unknowns back there. However, it's kind of a nice unknown because they have some guys that they think are going to be pretty good, including some guys that nobody's heard of yet. And then you have some guys like Dallas Gant that we've been hearing about for a very long time. So it's going to be interesting. This is a question that I think is almost impossible to answer. And I think at the end of the year, it's going to be interesting to look back. Like when you said, maybe your guy goes on to be an All-American, and we didn't realize it. Just like the one season when you had A.J. Hawk as a freshman and nobody had any clue how good this guy was going to be. And he goes in and he's amazing. So there seem to be these guys on the Buckeyes defense that turn into the silver bullets and make a name for themselves, basically coming out of nowhere. Malik Hooker is another one that pops to mind. The last one is going to be interceptions. Who leads the Buckeyes in interceptions this year?
I'm going to go Proctor there. I think he's going to have a breakout year. I think he was in the right place. Sometimes he would over-pursue a little bit last season. I think everything's going to click. And I think him being the Malik Hooker, as you just mentioned earlier, that he'll be roaming in the secondary, and I think he's going to come up with a lot of picks. I know a couple I can think of. You know, he was there, bounced off his hands, but I think he's going to clean that up and lead the team in picks.
He had an amazing interception in the Big Ten championship game against Northwestern that honestly sent them into the playoffs. You know, Trey Sermon was doing his thing, but there was a point in that game where the Buckeyes needed a turnover, and he had a fantastic interception on the sidelines. For me, I don't think it's going to be Seven Banks, only for the fact that I would love it for me to be Seven Banks, but I just don't think people are going to be able to get open on him, which means the other coach is going to look at that during the week and say, yeah, we're not throwing it over there. You know, so
yeah,
I just
they
don't
didn't
think
throw on him last year. They were picking on Sean Wade towards the end of the year. So I agree. I think they're going to pick on the Cam Brown or whoever rises to the cream of the crop on the other corner side, whether it's Cam or Legend or Ryan Watts, lots of options.
Yeah, I've always loved that. You know, particularly Denzel Ward was a guy that I loved when there were a lot of other big names going on. I kept looking at 12 and thinking, man, they can't get open on this guy. And then, of course, in the Indiana game to start the season, they're throwing these jump ball passes and the Indiana receivers are making one-handed left-handed catches, getting their feet in bounds. And on Twitter, the whole place is picking on number 12, Denzel Ward. And I'm thinking there's no way anybody's going to keep that up.
Right.
Now he goes on and to
top
me,
five pick.
Yeah. Right. And honestly, one of the best players, you know, defensively for me in the AFC North, and not to get ahead of ourselves, but the Cleveland Browns fans, you guys are in for a special season.
Unfortunately, I agree.
I think the Browns are a force to be reckoned with. I honestly think they potentially are the only team that can mess with the Chiefs. They were screwed a little bit in that game last year. This is coming from a person that's not a Browns fan. I'm looking at this completely from a gambling perspective, and we'll get back to it. But the Browns to win the AFC North, to me, looks like a goddamn lock. And for them to win the AFC championship is something to think about. If they're healthy in that defense, when you're looking at Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett on the ends, I mean, that's just filthy. And then you talk about Denzel Ward back there. Baker Mayfield's awesome. The Browns look like a tough team, and that'll be it for today. I want to say thanks to the Midwest Insider for coming on. If there's anything else you want to share with the people, go ahead. If not, we'll see you on the next episode.
No, thanks for having me. It was always fun as always, and almost college football. We're getting dangerously close.
2 weeks from tonight, I'll put a 10 unit play on the Buckeyes -14 against Minnesota. But we also want to talk about some props and some other ways to make money in that game. As always, we'll see you at the windows.
And here we go.
Michigan at the 41. What a hit! Ball's free! On the ground! South Carolina deserves to have it!
Cloudy just says, I'll take care of business right here. I'll come off the ball and rock you and get it right back for our offense.
22nd and 10 for Fields. Fields to throw it. Pump fake. Sacks. Fires. Touchdown, Garrett Wilson.
Now Burrow going to launch downfield for Chase. Who's got it? Touchdown, LSU.
Snaps for the whole
lock!
The kick is
off!
The kick is off! The Mountaineers are going to try to take it
back. That's all. Big out.
20, 50.
Ah!
The Mountaineers are going to beat the Michigan Wolverines.
This is Menace to Picks.